Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Did you know it is our anniversary month?
How long have we been married?
No, the show.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I did know
the
that,
show's actually. Anniversary. We are turning 6 years old, and to celebrate that,
we're going to first grade.
Close. We're giving a discount on our Patreon. If you join the year-long subscription to the Patreon, you can get 15% off during the month of May. You can find out everything about our Patreon at patreon.com/thecritshow. But all tiers for the month of May are 15% off when you sign up for the annual membership. Is that as exciting as first grade?
You know, now that I'm kind of remembering back to first grade, that's far better than first grade.
The Crit Show contains elements of horror, fantasy violence, and adult language. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
I think we've all had experiences where you like put something out, assuming that either someone will take it or it's going to go in the trash.
Oh, like on the curb?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how I've gotten like 80% of my rugs.
Yeah. So I got a lower bed because Harvey is just struggling with stairs.
Right.
I mentioned this before. So I do in fact have a frame now. It's just like 2 inches off the ground. But I didn't need my old box spring. So I set them out on the curb next to the trash can. I was like, well, someone will take these or the trash man will take them. And
I know what you mean, but that sounded like a cryptid.
I'm the trash man.
The trash man will show up and steal your box spring in the middle of the night.
So I set them out. I go inside. I get my coat and a couple other things, and I get in my car. And as I'm leaving, there's an old guy with a pickup truck loading them into the back of his truck. I was like, excellent. He drives away. I drive away. I come back. The trash has been emptied. He is unloading them back next to the trash can.
What?
And I was like, what? What's going on? He's like, oh, I don't need them. I was like, I don't think that's how that works. I think they're yours now. Trash has already come. I think you have to keep them. He did not like that.
He got called out for some bullshit. Yeah. I mean, my God.
It's like, I was just taking him for a ride.
Yeah, like, is there like a 5-second rule? Like if someone takes something from your trash, they just have to keep it?
Man, I don't know. I've never done that. And I would say like the vast majority of my furniture I have acquired from the sidewalk. And some really excellent pieces, actually. I would have to say anything involving a bed set is just about the one thing that I would not pick up from the side of the curb.
Yeah, so I can't imagine getting to the point where I'm loading it into a truck and I haven't decided for sure that I need and want this.
Yeah, but to come back hours later
and return them.
He's like, I don't need these anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
And now they're yours again, Rev.
If I was giving the ultimate benefit of the doubt,
yeah,
maybe he assumed that like you put them on Craigslist or something, like, hey, there's a free bed available at this location. He realized he didn't need it. He thought somebody else might, and so he was putting it back where people could expect to find it.
Yeah.
I would have to say that's a 0.01% chance of that's what happened.
Or maybe he just misjudged the size. Like maybe, you know, it was for like a queen bed and he has like a full and so the box spring didn't work or something.
Yeah, it was two twins to go underneath a king.
Gotcha. Well, then that's a bit harder to, I mean, you would know.
Regardless of the reason, you took them.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the other part. And I feel like this kind of turns your 1% into like a 0.01%. He was returning them in the rain. So he just set them outside on the wet ground.
I think that, yes, legally at that point, that's illegal dumping. Like, that's what he's doing. He is just now putting trash in somebody else's yard. Like, if the police came, you're just like, I've never met that bed spring in my life.
Yeah.
Like, that's on him. That's his fault.
I love the idea of going to a garage sale and they have like a, you know, for free section, and you take like a glass bowl home, you keep it for a few years, and suddenly you know, your cat runs by and scares you and you drop it and it shatters on the floor. So you scoop it up and you go back to the person's house and you leave it on their front step. Like, no, this is yours. I don't need it anymore.
I think the fastest I've ever had somebody take something and I just happened to notice because I was looking at a clock was 7 minutes when we lived in Terre Haute and we had this old recliner and we're like, ah, we'll just we'll throw it out on the curb and maybe throw it away. And I happened to glance at the clock the second that I walked in from setting it on the curb. And 7 minutes later, I hear some doors sliding open and some giggling. And I look out the window and these guys had pulled up. They had to have been, you know, ISU students or something in a van and the sliding door on the side opened and they were just hefting this massive old recliner up onto the side. They just had to hold on to it because it wouldn't fit in the van.
Oh my God.
And they were just giggling as they took off holding on to this thing.
Yeah. So it just got rained on and I let it sit there and then I waited till dark to go reclaim it so I could hide my shame from the neighbors.
Have you seen the trash truck eat like a big piece of furniture before?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's so satisfying. Watched it eat a couch and just like from the short end, you know, like munching it down long ways and just watching like the next piece fold in half and smash and then get pulled down and then fold in half and smash. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Except, so when that happened, we had Jake's old couch in the basement when we first moved into the house. And then we decided we were going to get like a nicer, newer living room set. So we go, we decide, we order it, it's going to show up. So we haul the couch out to the curb and then we're downstairs watching through the window as, as the truck comes up, skewers the couch, lifts it up, and as it's folding in half and crunching, Jake goes, I should have checked that thing for dice. He's like, I'm pretty sure multiple people have lost several sets of dice since we've moved into this house.
You know what else uses dice?
The show?
Yeah.
Let's go to the show.
All right.
The saloon is in chaos. One figure lays crunched on the ground near the front doors where Rev is. One stumbles, nauseated and discombobulated, towards Megan on the second floor. One stands ready to shoot, facing Tass. Kim's on the ground with a gunshot wound. The boss seems to be shifting into his second form and has called for reinforcements from the figure who disappeared through a door upstairs. I don't know who to start with, because I feel like it's just kind of equally bad for all of you.
Well, I know what I want to do. I would love to roll to the side, kicking over a table for a little bit of cover here, and I want to pop open my revolver and dump the bullets. We had spent some time with the Iron Striders and restocked there, so I would love to use a charge of my gear to reload with silver bullets.
Ooh.
Okay. Go ahead and spend your equipment charge to have silver bullets. I think that's totally justifiable from where you've been, what you have done.
Okay.
I would like an athletics acrobatics roll to get behind cover in order to do this safely.
That'll bring me to a 9. This is pretty important. This is pretty tense. So I think I would love to spend my last grit here invoking my gunslinger. Like, my justification for this is literally like me channeling the book, The Gunslinger, as best as I can. And just that image of how quickly they can reload while they're in movement. So that I'm just kind of doing this all as one core move.
Okay. You deftly knock over a table, putting cover between you and Kim and the gunman who is standing next to the transforming boss, and you are able to reload on the fly as you do.
Kim, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm not very good.
Okay, you can talk, though. That is a great sign. Okay, just stay with me here.
Okay.
Megan, up on the balcony, this dizzied figure is just charging unawares right towards you.
I throw open the door all the way. Hey, pal, looking for me? And I want to back into the room a little bit and just kind of egg him on so that he'll rush at me.
Okay.
Overall, my goal is if I can get that to work, I want to step out of the way and have him fall through the hole in the floor.
Amazing.
All right. I think I'm going to have you give me a provoke roll.
3.
Okay. You open the door and start backing in, trying to get him to come with you. And he does. And he's, I mean, just a lot quicker, a lot more fleet of foot than you expected. And he like grabs onto you as he stumbles and he just throws up on your clothes.
Oh, no.
And knocks you backwards and you both just fall through the hole in the floor.
Oh, come on. That's like land on the ground. Double a bad for me. I get thrown through a hole in the floor and it's in my pocket.
You don't take any harm. You don't take any like numerical harm though.
Well, I hope not.
Rev, you see this.
You're
see
fine.
It all. from your safe spot near the door, you see it all. What each of your teammates is engaging in or what is befalling them. But you also have a pretty clear line of sight on that figure that is transforming. You can see his limbs elongating. You can see fur sprouting from his body as it expands and tears through his clothes, taking the form of what sure looks to be a werewolf.
Is there any sign anywhere of people who do not mean us harm? Like, I saw that guy, you know, going upstairs. He was supposedly going to get the people. Is there any indication that there's someone up there who is actually the people we're looking to help?
Any indication in what way?
People that smell like the Iron Strider's base, muffled sounds of people who are gagged. Yeah, just sounds of struggle.
Okay, why don't you read a situation?
Okay. 9.
Okay, you get one question.
What should I be on the lookout for?
You put some pieces together here. You knew going into it that this seemed like a honeypot. This place was bait. This is where they wanted you to end up. You know that that figure went up the stairs, went through a door, and hasn't come back. You know that the gambler at the table signaled for his people who were hiding to do something once he thought that Tass and Kim were at his mercy inside. I think you intuit that no, those Iron Striders are not in this building. This was all a trap. That was the plan from the beginning, was for them to get somebody in here and take that somebody too. I think you also know, though, that they've got to be close enough for the boss or his people to have quick access to them in case they need it. In case anything did go south in here and they did actually need the hostages. And I think you remember Megan mentioning that raven, and you realize that it touched down in the building directly across the street in the general store.
Yeah, I think as all that comes together in my head, is the chat room open still?
Yeah, it should be.
Okay. I didn't know with the vomit and everything. If
you got too distracted.
Shorted you out. Yeah, I think putting all that together, I will say to everybody in the group chat, They're not here. Like this whole place is a setup. I think it's the general store. We got to get out of here. There's a lot of them here, and none of them are the people we need to help.
All right. Go. I'll cover you.
And I want to spend one of my charges, as Tass says that, to pull a lantern out of my bag and smash it on the floor.
Oh.
Metal. Yes. Take a point of luck.
Okay. You smash it on the floor. Lantern oil spills out and catches fire here near the front doors. And at about the same time, you hear that door upstairs get thrown open, and you hear growling and snarling as two creatures bound out of that room. One of them hops off the wall, one of them hops up onto the railing to perch, making their way towards the stairs. They look roughly canine, but with sharp, long teeth and freakishly long claws. Kind of patchy, mottled skin. And Rev, I think this also occurs to you, that when he said to release the dogs, it might not have just been flowery language talking about turning into a werewolf. Might have been talking about these things.
I'm going to run out across the street and go into the general store.
Okay, you run out the doors and you see Jumbo hanging like around the corner, who spots you as you run out, and he just starts lumbering after you, not sure what's going on. Tass, Kim, and Megan, you see Rev smash a lantern and bounce. You see a big werewolf guy and two other creepy little dog monsters. What do y'all want to do?
I want to pop up from behind this table and shoot at the werewolf.
All right. Why don't you first give me a nerve roll?
Okay. 13.
Okay. You're full of bravado. Take +1 forward to escalate the conflict. Give me a shoot roll.
Okay.
Well, let me clarify. Are you just trying to harm this werewolf? Are you trying to create an opening for your people to retreat? What is the objective of this shot?
I want to take him out.
Okay, shoot roll it is.
Okay. 12.
Okay, this gigantic werewolf rears up on its hind legs and draws in a breath and starts to howl, oh, and then just gets a bullet right through it and falls to the ground.
Silver bullets from a holy gun. That's bad news for him, I imagine.
That's a whammy.
Werewolf's down. We've got another cowboy and a couple of chupa thingies.
And other cowboy that you're referring to goes, ooh, as you down the big boss in a single shot.
You're next, idiot.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Those chupa thingies bound down the stairs. One jumps onto the table that you all were sitting at previously. The other one jumps up onto the shoulders of the gunman that's still standing there, which knocks him off balance, and he topples over onto the ground, and it lands hard on its side and scrambles back to its feet, looking for something to attack. Megan, what are you up to?
What's my situation? This guy attacked me and we both fell through the floor. Am I having to fight him off? Is he down?
No. Attacked you is a generous way of putting it. You scrambled his brain and you were just the thing that he was desperately trying to get to in the hopes that it might make him better. But he doesn't seem to have the capacity to try to cause you harm. He is now just laying on the ground next to you, holding his head, trying to get on all fours, get to his feet, fall down. He's in bad shape.
Okay, well, as the room is starting to fill with fire and smoke, I'm gonna run to the window that's nearest me on this floor, because since I fell through the floor of the room that I came through, theoretically Jumbo should be right outside this window. So I want to get this window open and try and gather Kim and bring her to the window.
Okay, you get this window open, no problem. There is no Jumbo standing outside of it, though. I think if you peek out and look around, you would actually see him following Rev as they run across the street. But you have a clear point of egress for you and Kim, assuming you can safely get to her and get back.
Is blueberry milk still here? Or did Jumbo take blueberry milk?
Blueberry milk is right there. Gives you a thumbs up.
Oh, no.
With a hoof.
Where did he get a hand?
He's got somebody else's hand in his mouth.
They fold out from inside of the hoof.
Yeah. Oh!
He takes the hoof off and their hand.
Yeah,
underneath.
Just like the Adventure Time character.
Yeah. I want to whistle for him to come over by the window and then run to grab Kim.
Okay. Give me a strength roll to hoist Kim and help her across the room and out the window. I think you can take a plus one on this, because I assume that with what strength Kim has, she is trying to ambulate herself.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Ooh, could I sell you on using telekinesis?
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay, that's way better.
Okay, yeah, go weird at level two, since this isn't something that's trying to resist or fight you.
I'm much smaller than the average person, though, so, you know.
Are you saying it should be less than two?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think two is what I made her do for a single arrow. So it's still well within her wheelhouse.
Nine.
Okay.
Do I still get the plus one from Kim not making me carry her entire weight with my mind?
I'm pretty sure if I feel you trying to grab me telekinetically, I'm not trying to put in effort to carry myself.
She goes as limp noodle as possible. Yeah. Take a
Take
minus
a
one.
Take a minus one, yeah.
Though I think that evens out because she's lost a lot of blood, so she's lighter.
I don't think you're still going to get the plus one. Do you have anything you can invoke and spend a grid on?
Yeah, but I feel like I should save it.
Yeah, but I wanted it for free.
Since you already said it in a different situation, I thought maybe it'd work. No, I feel like, again, I should hold on to my single grit in the case of a six. So.
Okay, then you are able to lift Kim and start to move her across the room and towards the window. But like with the net, it is taking every bit of your focus. You are having to wholly commit to this action, making you a prime target for the chupacabra.
Oh, is it really a chupacabra?
They are chupacabras.
Yes! Okay, cool. I feel so much cooler now.
Tass, you can see Megan trying to get her and Kim out of here, but you can see that she is easy pickings. What do you want to do?
Is the other cowboy still a threat at all, or did he get fully just knocked down by one of those things?
I mean, he is fully on the ground. That doesn't mean he's not still maybe a threat.
I want to try to deal with that first. I want to see if I can take him out.
Okay, give me a shoot roll.
I wish I had been filming these as they come out. That is a 15.
You pop that guy and he falls back onto the ground and is still. But the two chupacabras seem intrigued by the source of the loud noise, and they are furious, and they rush towards your table. One of them jumps up onto the like thin edge of it since it is turned on its side and actually just bites into the table and starts ripping chunks of wood off of it right above you. The other one runs around the side of it, and it seems a little bit overzealous. It slides a bit, but it digs its claws in, and you are effectively flanked.
I mean, I'm going to do my best to just grab the legs of the table and start backpedaling. Like, if they really feel like they're coming for me, I want to keep their attention on me and try to just hold this table to block their bites and stuff, letting Megan and Kim get out as fast as they can while they're, you know, the monsters are on me.
Okay. I feel like if you're just trying to, like, use a table as a shield here, this might be a strength roll.
Okay.
You look so sad.
Yep.
Can I shoot it in a way that helps me move it and be my shield?
Against all odds, that's a 10.
All right. You lift this table that I just said one of them is standing on, but you are Hulk-like in physique. You lift the table and it falls off the the right side for you, the wrong side for it. And you start backpedaling, keeping them at bay, keeping a clear path for Megan. Megan, you are able to get Kim out the window and across the saddle of blueberry milk. And all three of you are able to exit this building. Across the street, Rev, you and Jumbo rush for the general store. The dust storm is still spinning around out here. You can see that the silhouettes of the various gang members in town are close. They were all making their way in this direction because a lot of commotion was kicked up in that saloon. But none are actively barring your passage directly across the street. And similar to the saloon, from out here, the general store looks empty. What do you want to do?
As I run towards it, is the Raven still out there?
Why don't you read a situation once again?
9.
You have the plus one from your last read a situation, because I think you're still acting on the information you gleaned there.
Oh, yes, then 10.
You get 3 questions.
Oh.
I don't know what to do with them.
Plethora. What's my enemy's true position?
There is a second story to this general store. You know, you're looking at like front doors and kind of storefront glass on your level. And up above, there are 2 windows on the front of the building, one on the left side, one on the right side. Sitting above the window on the left, on the edge of the roof, you see the Raven. And just below it, in the window, you see a glint of metal, like the barrel of a rifle.
Where's my best way in?
You know you've already been observed. So the actual, like, physical point of entry maybe doesn't matter as much as go in fast, go in hard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them time to acclimate to your approach. Based on the fact that that person is up on the second story, though, what you're looking for probably is too.
So the Raven is sitting on the roof right above that window, and that window is open and I see the glint of metal, or I see the glint of metal behind glass?
From behind glass. The windows are closed because, again, it seems like they're trying to put on the image that this place is just, you know, unoccupied.
So if I'm able to get in and find these people, what's the best way out?
There is an awning, like, under those second story windows that is over kind of the front porch of the general store. So if you go out one of those windows, the fall won't be a full story.
All right, I'm going to stop and try to pretend like I don't know that I'm being watched. And I look at Jimbo. All right, whoever we're looking for is up on the second floor. We got to get him and get out. And I think we just go out the window when we go out with them, and we can land on that awning somewhere up around there. And I'm going to point at the window that's got the metal behind it, and I want to channel some force and blow the glass into this rifleman's face.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right. Roll to go weird. Just blowing up a window, I think that's just like level one.
11.
Nice.
You fire a blast of force. The glass shatters. You hear a yelp of pain and a rifle shot that fires well wide of you, as whoever's up there must have compromised their position. And Jumbo charges forward and just throws a shoulder into the front door and blasts it open.
I'll follow him.
Once inside, you see shelves of goods on the wall to your right. You see a wraparound counter on your left, beyond which, on the far left corner, there is a door that leads to a staircase heading up to the second floor. There is nobody on this floor with you, other than Jumbo, of course.
All right. As Jumbo is running, I'm going to blast that door ahead of him in, just in case there's nobody here, in case there's anybody on that side of it.
Okay. Give me that same weird roll.
7.
You blast that door, which should swing out towards you, but it comes clean off of its hinges, and you hear it smack into somebody on the other side. Indeed, there was someone waiting at the base of the stairs on the other side of that door, and you can hear them struggling to get out from underneath this big, solid piece of wood, but it is also now in your way, blocking your route up the stairs. What do you
want
to do?
I want to run in and jump on the door.
Okay.
Just to get this guy lower to the ground.
This is just like that scene in The Crucible.
More weight!
Jumbo steps on, you each take a side, and you like teeter-totter back and forth on it.
I bounce him.
Just cherry bomb him up into the air.
Okay. Give me an athletics acrobatics roll, I think, to bound across this door and up the stairs.
7.
Nice.
You.
Okay. You leap across this door, and just right as you get like past it and get a foot on the stairs, you feel a hand grab onto your ankle from underneath the door and pull, and you trip. Roll the harm move for me.
With what modifier?
I would consider this unarmed brawling, so +1.
Okay. 9.
All right, so you're going to take a wound. This will be non-lethal, so it'll heal after a short rest of about an hour. But describe this wound, write it on your character sheet. What happens to you as he grabs your ankle as you're trying to go by on the stairs?
Oh, I think he turns my ankle.
Yeah. Okay. So you will take a -1 ongoing to body rolls until you are healed. But as you are collecting yourself, Jumbo just delivers the people's elbow to this door, and that hand that's holding on to you like tightens for a moment and then just goes slack. These stairs take a hard 90 to the left right ahead of you, and then another hard 90 to the left, leading to another door at the top, which is currently closed.
I want to stop and see if I can hear, smell other people up here.
You can hear some cursing and banging around. You can also hear some muffled cries and scuffling on the floor.
All right, I think that door, the two people we're here to save and the guy who was going to shoot at us, is in there.
How do you want to go in?
I'd say we knock the door open again, but I don't know where they're going to be positioned, so open the door and I'll try to blast them out the window.
All right, I think I'm going to have you roll the henchman move, which we have not used yet. When you order a henchman to do something by commanding, intimidating, or charming him, roll +soul plus command, intimidate, or charm. Fame or infamy may be used instead of soul plus skill, if fictionally appropriate. But I feel like this is one of the first times that, like, in the heat of it, like, you know, Jumbo's been like, what do you want me to do? And you, like, called a play.
Yeah.
I think it's time to use this move.
Okay. I feel like I would roll it with command, because, like, command in this game isn't command, but it's a...
You're calling the shot.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be a dick about it or anything. You're not intimidating. You're just, hey, do this.
Okay.
If the henchman has the appropriate skill equal to +3, you take a +1. No matter how we frame this, I don't think Jumbo's got an appropriate skill at a +3. He's very strong, but you're not having him rip this door off or anything. You're explicitly not having him bust it open.
Yeah. Do we know, like, do we get to know what Jumbo is good at, or do we just use him, and if it comes up, you're like, oh yeah, you get a bonus for this. Like, is his stat sheet something that we know in the story in some way?
I mean, through observation, I think you could tell what things he's good at and what things he's bad at. I don't know that you guys, like, that the players would get the numbers.
Okay. Because I didn't know if it was like, oh yeah, we're hiring a henchman, and so we want someone who's good in this, this, and this. I mean, not that we hired Jimbo, like, he joined on. So.
We adopted
him.
Yeah.
I could see, like, in a situation where you were hiring a henchman, ways of narratively approaching you understanding how good they are, you know, metagame-wise, like, having a shooting competition with somebody to gauge, like, oh, okay, based on the results of that between you and me, I can tell that you shoot as well as me or better than me or something like that. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, for Jumbo, I mean, I think you've seen him be very strong. You've seen him fuck up talking to people.
Yeah.
Like, you know some things that he's good and bad at. You probably just don't know the exact values.
9.
Okay. So on a 7 and 9, the henchman is partially successful or causes you cost of danger, worse outcome, or ugly choice. So Jumbo opens the door and he kind of miscommits to this, to where he goes past the door a little bit, like he's trying to sneak a peek for you before you have to go in there. And you hear that rifle go off and you see Jumbo get clipped.
Oh.
And he takes a tumble here on the safe side of the door. But he's clasping his left shoulder with his right hand.
Can I see the guy who shot him?
You moving into the room?
Yeah.
Then yes, as you move in, you can see that figure who was pointing a rifle out the window is now standing with it leveled directly at where Jumbo just was, and the barrel is smoking, and he is going to ratchet the lever for another shot.
Yeah, I still don't have my rifle, so I step forward and just do a strong kick at him and channel force out my foot.
We're in full Airbender territory now. Go weird. This is, I'd say, quite direct harm to a creature your size. It's going to be level 3.
Okay. 11.
Hell yes.
You rocket him out the window that you had busted open, and he does a backward somersault bouncing off of that awning, and you hear him land with a thud in the street. Next to you now are two figures dressed in Iron Strider garb. They are hog-tied on the ground, gags tied around their mouths, both looking like they're in pretty rough physical condition, dried blood, bruising, and they are struggling against their bonds, and you can see in their eyes that they're hoping you're here to help.
I'm here to help. Just one second. I'm going to run back out to Jumbo and pull the handkerchief out of my pocket. Sorry. I'm going to jam it into the wound.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, he lets out a cry of pain, but he puts his hand back over it and holds it in place.
Then I'm going to use my, last gear point to produce a knife and cut these two Iron Striders free.
Okay. You start cutting their bonds. Megan, Kim, and Tass, as you get out the window, get Kim situated upon the saddle of Blueberry Milk. Across the street, through the dust storm, you hear a rifle shot. And then a moment later, you can faintly hear something tumbling and hitting the dirt in the road.
I'm urging Blueberry Milk forward to that sound.
You all push forward into the street and get close enough to see the body of one of these henchmen laying face down in the dirt with a tarnished rifle a few inches away from his hand.
Oh, thank God it's not Rev.
Oh, that's a good sign.
I want to reach out telepathically. Rev, are you okay?
Yeah. We've got him. Jimbo got shot, but I think he's okay.
Oh, twins.
Oh. You got him? You got the hostages?
Yeah.
All right. Get back down here. Let's get out of here before this dust clears.
All right. And I'll turn to the two Iron Striders. I realize you're in rough shape. We got to jump out this window and get the hell out of this town. There's a canopy.
Oh, okay.
There's the guy back that way. We don't want to go that way.
Okay.
Tass, do you still have that dynamite?
You know I do.
Feel like taking out a saloon trap while we're here?
Sure.
Figured if we're trying to get out of here, we might as well leave it in a way that they can't start this back up again.
Yeah, I mean, the fire's already doing a pretty good job, but we could speed that along and cause a little chaos for them to focus on. So I'm going to reach into my pack and not even light a stick of dynamite. I'm just going to huck it into the burning front door.
There is a massive explosion. Chunks of that building start to collapse in. A couple of fiery chupacabras come running out, like screaming, yelping.
Oh, babies.
One of them, like, falls on its side and slides in the dirt a little bit and then gets back up. They just take off out of town, and you hear the shouts of all the rest of this gang on the east end of town rallying to head in the direction of this explosion. Rev, you get these two iron striders out onto the awning, and they kind of butt scoot down and drop onto the ground. Tass, Meg, and Kim, you see them land unsteady, a little bit worse for wear. And a moment later, Jumbo follows. Like Rev said, he is clutching a bleeding wound up near his shoulder, and he also lands a little bit rough. And last comes Rev. You've got the rest of this group headed your way. What do you all want to do?
Do I have the sense at all that if I, like, whistle through this dust storm that King Caesar would hear me?
Yeah, there's an inkling that that might work. I'm pretty sure that has worked for at least one of you already in this game at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to try whistling for him.
You hear the majestic thundering of hooves, and a beautiful golden mane hoves into sight through the dust storm. You're up to four beautiful horses now.
I'm going to hop on and help one of the Iron Striders up.
I'm going to reach down and pick up the rifle of the guy who got blown out the window and put it in my holster.
Nice.
Okay.
I'll take the other hostage.
All right.
Wait, aren't I on your horse?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that would... So then presumably Jumbo's on my horse, so he could take the other hostage.
He could take the other hostage.
Okay, yeah. Jumbo mounts up on Virgil with his one good arm and just with that arm kind of grabs the other Iron Strider by the belt and, like, pulls him up onto the horse into the saddle behind him. And you all tear down the street, heading west out of town. Where are you all headed from here?
I think back to the train. I mean, we got to get back to the med car. We at least have some people that have been shot and need to be kind of tended to, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to backtrack, but I mean, we haven't technically made that much progress technically, right?
Yeah. And my stocks are empty, like, already.
I need to be somewhere clean and not dusty.
Yeah.
All right. You are all mounted up. You take off west out of town, across the desert, and back towards your train.
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Forgive me, Father.
For I have sinned.
It's been 6 months.
Since my last confession.
What would you like to confess today?
I have decades of failings I could recap here.
Today, I want to confess the worst thing I've ever done.
Okay. Lots to unpack here.
I can be kind of a crap husband.
I took 8 years of my life and lit it on fire in a matter of 5 hours.
So I did what any self-respecting father would do.
I lightly dosed his Gatorade with a powerful laxative.
And I guess sorry for making out in the confessional?
Since confession is about talking to God, I felt he had a right to know what you've done.
What I've done? What did I do?
Are you kidding?
Do you love Emily?
What the hell kind of question is that?
Well, you're not going to absolve me? That's the whole point.
Please leave the sacrament to the professionals.
Where do you get off talking to me like this?
Excuse me?
What the f? Who is there?
Forgive Me, a comedy podcast from Rogue Dialogue.